I'll call the committee of the whole meeting of October 6th to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So the recent tradition has been that the council president chairs this meeting, but I thought that I would do that since there may be questions. But I'm going to avoid offering any opinions because this is a meeting of the common council, even though I am a member. The budget you have in front of you, you heard about last week ago. The overriding goal was to provide a zero tax levy increase. Achieved that through some very hard work on the part of the department heads, who I appreciate. Thank you very much. The thought process that went behind it was really quite simple. In the past, we've had a great record through former Mayor Clements and former Mayor Taylor of turning back hundreds of thousands of dollars in unspent budget. So my request to staff was take a look at your budget, take a look at your history, and narrow it up, so that we continue to give back, but not as much. And that way we have a more accurate tax levy and tax rate. So with that, Mr. Liberto.
The agenda is really set for the Common Council, having already seen the presentation, to be able to address any department head or staff on questions they might have. In your packet for the Committee of the Whole was a two-page council action sheet that just provided some procedural notations on a structured way that you could indicate suggested motions to modify the mayor's recommended budget to create a budget recommendation of the Committee of the Whole of the Common Council that can then be used for the public hearing. Absent any changes at the Committee of the Whole level, then the budget as proposed and provided submitted to you by the mayor would be the one that's submitted to the public hearing and prepared for the public hearing notice. This is one of the few instances, actually the only one, where you will take actions in the Committee of the Whole, typically, that which actions carry forward, and that's because the ordinance on the preparation of the budget specifically identifies the Committee of the Whole as able to make changes to the budget as recommended by the mayor that then goes to the public hearing notice. So other than that, It's really your meeting to have your questions asked of staff about the budget. Last year's format, they sort of started with the general fund and sort of announced each department to see if there were any questions on that. Many of them there were not, and they just worked right through very quickly. But it is really yours to address and whatever form or fashion, and we will provide you any, hopefully between us and the department heads, answers to any questions that you have.
Page 151, the mayor's budget. Any questions?
Sir? You're going through it.
He's starting with the tab that says departments, which is basically starting with the general fund.
Page 151. Let's light it up. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Well, actually, I had 46 and 49, and so I wasn't quite set up to do it the way you're doing it, so I don't know.
46 what?
The page number. page 46 has something called VPM, and it's also mentioned again on page 173. It's a $25,000 item that was put in by the mayor, and I didn't even know what the VPM was. And I had asked Paul, and he wasn't 100% sure, but he did say it was related to an IT and had a fairly okay explanation. I wanted to know what the VPN was.
VPN stands for Virtual Private Network. So what happened was, you can see up at top, point-to-point wireless network connection for DPW was deleted. And so on that same page, in the same column, the Information Services Department, you asked about page 46, so in the middle of page...
Well, let's be clear for everybody, right? So this is a capital item. It is on page 46 of your binder. I called and asked for discussion on the mayor's budget, not the budget. But Alderman Wellen wants to talk about page 46, which is capital.
So in the middle of that page, there's Information Services Department. And you can see at the top of the first one there was a $30,000 request for a point-to-point wireless connection for DPW. That was deleted, and the VPN upgrade was inserted. It's two different technological ways to address the same problem, and we were investigating three different ones. So what we put in there was the VPN upgrade, which means the virtual private network, how we hook up to DPW. $25,000 was put in to address that with the specific technology solution not identified, because it can be done through wireless, it could be done through operating costs through Time Warner, or it could be done with microwave. So there were a couple solutions that we're still investigating. So a more generic title instead of point-to-point, which tends to specify more of a microwave connection.
Okay. Excuse me, Mayor, I wasn't aware of the procedure. It was typically the Common Council President that did that, so I had sort of another procedure, and then I also wasn't aware of your procedure of how you're going, so my items will kind of be jumping back and forth if we do it that way. I will do my best to keep up, but if I find myself going back to them, you'll understand why. It was no information on how that was, and only 9 business days with the budget. It was a really tough push to get through everything and get all the questions answered. We'll go through the way you're going to do it, and then we might have to backtrack, I guess.
Yeah, we will hit the cap.
Can I ask
it?
Since we're on page 46...
Let's do the capital budget.
Well, since we're there, can I just ask about the finance department on page 46? Can you explain exactly what the miscellaneous equipment is?
Miscellaneous equipment may be a printer for the department. We have, with the upgrade in the newer software, we have a departmental printer that's used for reports, but it's also used to print checks and other miscellaneous items. Sometimes there are conflicts when check printing needs to be taking place at the exact same time that other reports are needed to be placed. So we put something in here to deal with that particular eventuality. Also, the Treasury Department, which is part of this particular budget, uses scanning-type equipment to do receipting for both utility payments as well as property tax payments. And periodically, those particular pieces of equipment about $150 each need to be replaced. And so this was a provision to be able to provide that ability should those eventualities occur.
Do you have an estimate of what the printer will cost?
I do not.
Thank you.
All right, Mark, let's do the capital budget then. Any questions on the capital budget, page 46, since we're there? I'll just state it, right?
I will only note that this is the area where the contingency was put in the capital outlay fund to add for that program where department heads during the course of the year can come present to the Common Council unbudgeted capital items that would provide either safety enhancement or efficiency improvements. that could then be funded. So and significant increase in the contingency in this capital area was part of the mayor's budget recommendation.
Alderman Evans.
Chief Remington, do you have, on page 48, do you have any tablets right now for...
We have two tablets that the inspectors use. It's a program that when they go out and do their inspections, it links to their computer and downloads automatically. The additional tablets would have been for myself and the assistant chief, as well as one extra one that could be used by the crews to go around and do inspections as well. So, yeah, we do have two in addition to our help.
Thank you.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I have the answer to this, but I just thought I'd call it to the council's attention with the page 47 with the City Hall Security System Phase 2. Maybe there would be some explanation on the request of $62,000 and we recommended of $10,000.
Mr. Lombardi.
The $62,000 was a quote provided by the company that I believe did the security system in the police department, the camera system. So the $62,000 was basically a very full camera setup for City Hall, I believe, including exterior parking lots. What was incorporated in the end was a number that should provide for two cameras in City Hall targeting either the final locations would be determined probably the clerk's office, the front entrance, and that hallway by the treasurer, so that main access. It would be a direct build on directly with the police department system, so they would be viewable and operationable by the dispatchers, just as the police departments are.
Any other questions on cap? Okay. Without objection, we'll move back to 151, which is the mayor's departmental budget. Shows a net reduction of 0.33%. Any questions there? Okay.
I do have a question.
Alderwoman Mayor.
I've noticed that the volunteer recognition has been not just for the mayor, but for the aldermen too, has increased. I'm just wondering what that is.
Okay, so we've moved on to the alderman's budget, which is opened by all of us, I think. The question is, what's the volunteer recognition? In the past, former Mayor Clements, at the request of some of the aldermen, budgeted for a recognition dinner for the volunteers in the city, those who serve on boards and commissions, and the staff members that staff those boards and commissions, as a small thank you for the time and effort they put in. At the time of the first one, I was a citizen volunteer. I very much enjoyed it. I thought it was a good thing for the city to do for us, and I continue to think that, and that's why I'm back here. It's a little thank you for the volunteers.
Mayor, one clarification toward her question. I think she's recognizing that in the alderman budget, you did add $5,000.
Right.
In the mayor's budget, there was already an appropriation for $1,000. So she may have been asking about the distinction between the two. And I believe they were generally intended for the same purpose.
Flowers for city employees who have spouses or family members pass away, volunteers, similar circumstances, that kind of thing. Plaques, nameplates. Alderwoman Wellham.
On the committee's Corey monitoring committee is, I don't see it on page 154. It lists all the different automatic committees. That's one I sit on.
I don't think that needs an action, do you? We'll fix that.
We'll correct that.
Any other
Mayor, can the...
Yes, you've got the floor.
Can the appropriations in the $5,000 be used for the alderman to attend like his conference that's coming up? I have yet to ever request to go to anything that the city paid for in my term. And I'd like to go to the economic development or that conference that's happening up in Oshkosh.
That's over.
No, it's coming up. Isn't it coming up this next month?
Got back. But the answer to your question,
next,
in all fairness,
next year.
Is there's $500 budgeted for conferences in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll get some criticism for this by others, but hopefully not the six of you. It's my view, frankly, that the alderman's budget is at the purview of the alderman and the council president. So if that's what you want to do with your $500.
Do we have a procedure? Maybe
no.
We should talk about that later. But
we don't have a procedure for that.
Okay. I think we might want to do that.
And likewise, you've got $11,500 in memberships. That goes to the list on
page 155.
I will point out to the common council that the American Society of Composers, I know it as ASCAP, because that's what they're called, BMI, Broadcast Music, and CSAC are all licensing so that we can use music on hold and music on the website. Everything else is fair game, but Alderman Wilhelm still has four.
Well, I always wondered why these came were put in the alderman's budget. It seems like, especially the, like the league that should come, maybe even some of these moved over to the mayor's budget. It kind of inflates the budget for the alderman when we're not really, this isn't really part of our salary.
You can handle it, can't
so.
You?
Yeah. And regarding the other one, if they went to that meeting, I'm hoping we're going to get an update from that. It would be nice to know what
took place
there.
Mr. Dannard, Alderman Dannard, promoted you.
Maybe someone can tell me what we get out of the Urban Alliance membership.
That is a subgroup of the League of Municipalities. It's easy for me to say. It's a subgroup of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. It's intended as a lobbying and information arm for the chief executives of the municipalities and a lobbying arm. Never been to a meeting. I've never received a notice of a meeting.
So we really don't, we're not involved, and we really don't get anything out of it.
Mr. Roberta.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities does a lot of work with the state elected officials in trying to get legislation to happen. Protect municipal interests. The Urban Alliance is the subgroup that focuses on some of the distinctions that the larger urban communities might want, because sometimes the League's agenda as a whole might be slanted to some of the more rural or agricultural areas, and sometimes the more populous areas, the more urban areas, have different benefits. So that enables that subgroup to push a different agenda that may not be one that is approved by the League as a whole.
When was the last time you heard from this organization?
It would be a couple of years. Since we have specifically asked them and specifically tracked what they're doing, it does not mean that their agendas have been consistent with what we would promote. It just means we haven't been directly involved in it.
So is there something, maybe some duplication here? I mean, is part of it covered under the League of Wisconsin Municipalities? And is it $855 that we can utilize somewhere else?
Absolutely, you can move it somewhere else. But I believe it does, through the League, allow them to have some focus on urban areas and provide provide some distinguishing consulting work that you're not going to necessarily get out of the League as a whole.
I would recommend the council keep that $850 in mind, and as you move through the budget, if you need it for something, take it.
Sure. That's all.
I'm sorry, not a quick question. Sure. Done, Mark?
Yes, I'm done.
Alderman Wilhelm, and then Alderman Schmidt.
Well, I remember last time I saw this, I asked the questions to get a breakdown of these. Each one of these items, and specifically what we were getting out of those. So that maybe that would help us to make a decision on how many of these we want to stay in, because the only one that I'm really familiar too much with is the ICC, which I don't go and attend, and the League and the Chamber. So the rest of them, if they're useful to me, I need to be provided the information so I could make them useful to me.
Well, just for general discussion, the Public Policy Forum provides us research, and it entitles us to all of their studies and participation in their studies, as well as to ask them questions. The ICC you know about, and by the way, I've never made a secret of those meetings, and you're all welcome to attend, although they only have one chair for us, and I fill it. The Wisconsin League of Municipalities provides us substantial legal assistance as well as publications and information. ASCAP we discussed. South Suburban Chamber of Commerce, $150. We need to have more conversations with what that gets us, but there it is. It's our membership. Urban Alliance we talked about. BMI we talked about. And CSAC we talked about. You had the floor. Oh, thank you. Doug.
I was just curious what who's representing us on that Society of European Stage Authors and Composers?
You want to volunteer? It's a licensing fee for music that's used over the cable channel. Or
music that's used over the cable channel?
And, oh yeah, excuse me, the Madam Clerk provides me another piece of information. It's absolutely valuable. It also allows the musicians who come and play for civic celebrations to play without collecting license fees. Those three organizations are music licensing organizations, and they pay the royalties based on that. Alderman Dander.
Now, this is just a membership for the South Suburban Chamber of Commerce. Now, if there's events that people attend to, that's covered under a different category?
Yeah.
Is that in our allowances? Or would that be covered under that $5,000?
Mr. Liberta is going to take the arrow for me on this one.
if you look at page 156,
yep,
which is the Alderman budget, you see we've got two sections, personnel services and non-personnel services. The actual technical budget, the appropriation unit, is defined by state statute for each department, is broken into two numbers, the personnel services and the non-personnel. So those eight or nine categories of non-personnel, from other personal professional services down to volunteer recognition, the 5,000, is really all one big budget number. The detail, those nine lines, are our internal accounting of them. So if the Common Council authorized somebody to go to a chamber dinner and pay for it, we would probably charge it to the conferences and schools line up. Okay? If you ran over budget on that line item, what was anticipated for that line item, provided there were sufficient unspent in the other line items, then you're still within the budget guidelines. And your departments operate very much the same way. So back to like the question of conferences and schools. If the Common Council said, you know what, we're going to send one of our members out to the big Las Vegas show for shopping centers, and it was going to be $1,500. Even though there's $500 there, you could approve it without a budget modification because you've got that whole $30,000, and that whole group is your full appropriation.
Provided you haven't already spent it.
Provided you haven't already spent it, or you don't have a commitment to spend it like you do for example, your memberships. So that's how that works. There may be 500 there, but you could overspend that and underspend volunteer recognition.
I mean, because when you go to the annual dinner at the Chamber of Commerce, that's $500 or $600 right there, I would say, for bucks. So that's absorbed in one of these categories.
Well, and I don't believe your other professional services line item is really intended or designated for anything in specific. Okay. So if you're anticipating needing more and you want to spell that out to the community that's your intent to engage in more of these things and send aldermen to them, then you could consider moving some of that 1,000 down to the conferences and school line item and have it available instead of overspending it at the end of the year. Move some there so that people see that could be your intent if that is it.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks.
Any changes to the alderman budget? All right, seeing none, municipal court. Any questions for the judge?
That's page 158.
Thank you. Sorry. I was just going to be me too. 158. Net change of 1.18%. Fred. Any questions for the judge?
Well,
Alderman Dandridge.
Well, there were recommendations by the municipal judge for... he was recommending some increases. He is here. Those budgets were cut out. So maybe we want to hear Mr. Clements' recommendations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to cut to the chase. You guys have a long meeting. You're just barely getting started with your budget process. And that is that our court clerks are underpaid. And when I say that, I mean when you use any analysis that compares the number of cases we have in municipal court with those of communities of a similar size, such as West Allis or Greenfield, their court clerks are making almost double what our court clerks are. We have one court clerk that's been with us for 40 years. We have another court clerk that's been with us for 30 years. We are a department that has grown in terms of number of cases year by year. We're a revenue-producing function of government, so I think there's no question that would be my highest priority, is to get our clerks up to a reasonable rate of pay. However, I have talked with the mayor, and for that matter, Alderman D'Andrea. The mayor has assured me that the court system will be looked at along with all other departments as part of a study that's recommended by the personnel committee. I think that's a fair way to do it. I think that's a reasonable way to do it. Do I still think our clerks are underpaid and should get raises? I do. But do I think that the municipal court should be treated as other departments in the city are treated and be part of an overall study? Yes, I do. I think that's the fair way to do it. And so the mayor has explained to me why my requests in that area were not included in his proposed budget, and I can live with that. I understand the reasoning for it, and I accept it. I just hope that the study does move forward and does come to a reasonable conclusion.
So then, Fred, going on to page 1, which is our summary of recommended budgets, when we look at our revenue generated from the municipal system, then I see that, and Mark, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm seeing the recommended budget for 2015 is a decrease of almost 5%, 4.8% in revenue. So I'm trying to justify, I mean, granted, can't put the cart before the horse, but I would not see a trend with our fee income to go down if we're going to be increasing.
I think possibly. That, you know, I'll let Mr. Liberta speak for himself on that, but I think the intent was to be cautious and be careful with that number. Frankly, it may be a low number, but I think the intent was to be cautious with it rather than to be over-optimistic. And I will tell you that one of the things that affects the municipal court budget to a great extent is that if someone refuses to pay a forfeiture when it's due or just doesn't pay it for whatever reason, it neglects it or refuses it, and they get a commitment to the House of Correction, unfortunately, the taxpayers of the community involved, in this case, obviously, Franklin, have to pay for the housing of those inmates, even though those inmates, you know, may not end up ever paying what they owe. And currently it's at $50 a day. So anytime somebody doesn't pay their forfeiture in Franklin for not stopping the stop sign or going through a red light or whatever it might be, if they just don't pay, we, in effect, have to pay to house them at the housing correction. And, I think we were anticipating that with the economic downturn of the last few years that the number of people who won't pay or don't pay might be going up, and so we were trying to be cautious with that as well.
Okay, because we're sitting at 235 right now after 6 months. And so if we annualize that, we would probably, well, unless there's a, we see the pattern of a decline toward the end of the second half. Mark, you probably have those statistics. I'm sure you want to add to
that. You do. So where Alderman Dandrea is referring to is the bottom of page 10. Third line up from the bottom, you'll see penalty costs, which are the
bottom of page 10.
He's talking about the revenues and the courts. I'm looking at the revenue section.
He's looking at court revenue, and he says through the first 6 months we had $235,000. So if you annualize that, we should be at $470,000, but we're not. And he's asking why aren't
we? But I was pointing to the line. So it doesn't typically annualize because the November, December fees are usually smaller than the other ones.
Okay.
So we have taken that into consideration. The other thing to take into consideration, which is why we ended up with the 422, is the police chief in his grants number did indicate an expectation for a better grant year in 2015 than was experienced in 2014. And so there was in our efforts to fine-tune that number, we did come up to the 422. But that is down from the current year amended budget.
What are the grants going to do with the fees and fines?
Grants allow us to put extra patrol officers on the street on overtime paid by the state, which increases citations issued, which increases forfeitures.
Well, maybe.
The grants themselves are a separate line item higher up on page 10.
Correct.
The higher the grant revenue, the higher the forfeitures. Fred.
Okay.
Have fun. Alderman Willem.
Well, the comment that Judge Clements made brings me back to the budget summary where it talks about the employee, the compensation study. He had mentioned that his staff or clerks are underpaid, and the budget is kind of suggesting in here that we're going to accommodate that when this study comes in. But if the case comes out that everybody or a majority come in and that they're underpaid on this study, are we going to be able to deal with that? Or because it says, you know, that it will be then allocated in accordance with the results of the compensation study. Are we actually going to do that if everyone goes up? And will we be able to?
Well, here's the rub. First of all, we don't know what the compensation study is going to show us. But the acid test of this is how many salaries are going to go down if the study says that they're overpaid.
Are you expecting there'll be quite a few in the overpaid?
Oh, I'm
category?
Sure we'll see some. So then, yes, we're going to have to make some compensation for those that go up. But we budgeted essentially 1.5% for raises next year. And then we'll have to deal with we've got to do this in a mature, wise, and stepped fashion. We can't immediately hand out 60% and 29% raises to three individuals without keeping track of what we're doing with the rest of them.
Right. So. That was one of my concerns within the budget was that area and how we're going to deal with that. So,
Ms. Woodward.
Well, the whole process of the classing compensation study, and we'll deal with that at the end as well when they bring back sort of a financial spreadsheet that compares the results to an implementation plan based upon the compensation philosophy that they get from you during an early stage of the process. You know, do you want to be a community that pays at the midpoint? Do you want to be a community that pays lower than average or pays higher than average? You sort of decide that up front, and then they give you the results. There aren't really, even if you are overpaying somebody, so to speak, against the marketplace, there isn't a community that has cut wages. They've frozen people until their wage rate range catches up to them, but there isn't a community in the state that I've been able to find after extensive looking that actually cuts somebody's wage, and none of the consultants recommends that. But they do freeze them. And then they look at the people that the study says are being underpaid, and it looks at how do you address those. Usually what they do is people up to X amount of increase, they try and encourage you to fund, and they show you how to do it. If it's more than that, then often there's a 2 or 3 year phase in to get that person up to that to give you time to budget it. In the total salary line items, as the mayor indicated, there's the 1.5% total. And what was done at the beginning of this year, we will encourage and recommend that you do next year, meaning not implement the January 1st increase, let the study results come out, then all that funding is there. The people who are right where they should be may get their 1% at that time, or maybe it turns out you need that whole amount to allocate where those increases are. In addition to that 1.5%, there was, just as with this year's budget, it's being carried over into next year, $40,000 built in to deal with some specifically anticipated compression issues, primarily in your two public service departments. Because we didn't want resolving those compression issues to eat into the base that's intended for the broader employee grouping. So I think that the solutions that your consultant will bring to you and how to implement the results of the study based upon the philosophy you give them for a pay plan will work. That's specifically what those consultants are charged with doing.
And let's be clear, the municipal court is not the only department that has pay compensation issues. The police department's got a compression issue that's pretty big. Actually, so does the fire department. And there's some issues in inspection. We got it across the board. So we need to get this study done. I promised the staff that I'd get it done, and we're going to get it done. So any cuts to the municipal court budget?
No, you made him run.
You're all not found guilty this early.
Yeah. You're dismissed. The city clerk elections budget, page 163. Any questions? Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Jerry. Information Services, page 172. Any questions? I would expect it.
This is one of the departments with the more significant changes in it with the addition of the
IT director. Can't you leave well enough alone?
No, I wanted to make sure it was on the public record. Clearly at the moment.
Alderwoman Wilhelm, you have that look on your face.
Yeah. Well, this is the, you have... 173 has item number 3, conferences and schools for an IT director manager for $1,500. And I'm suggesting that we eliminate that because if we hire someone, I'm hoping for the first year at least we don't have to send them to school right away. The next year, put it back in maybe, but the first year, we really need to train them right away. Like, they should be up to date when they come in the door, and then things should progress after that. So I would like to make the recommendation to remove the $1,500 for the conferences in schools within the IT budget.
Support for that motion.
Second.
We need to restate that motion, though.
Well, if you refer to your...
Well,
yeah, if you refer to the council action sheet, we do suggest motions be put. I move to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended budget by, and in this case it would be striking conferences and schools for $1,500 from information services.
Is that your motion?
That's my motion.
That's your second motion?
Yes.
Mr. Liberto.
As human resources director and a department head who tries to take advantage of these, I would recommend against that, only because that the intent here is for them to be able to participate in conferences with their peers. So it's not to send them to Microsoft school because we hired somebody who can't do that. It would be like cutting GFOA, Government Finance Office Association, meeting for Paul, or me not participating in WPELRA, the Wisconsin Public Employee and Labor Relations Association. Those linkages and connections you make with your peers, and there is a separate municipal IT directors group in the state. I went to their conference once early here because we needed it for a specific project we were working on at the time, and it's county and municipal directors. It's a active organization where they will make not only good connections, but they will those connections will provide a lot of efficiencies for them in the long run, getting resources from them. The other thing that happens is that usually hooks them up with local vendors and professional sources that you could often get some free advice from. So I would recommend, even in the first year, you want him to get in with his peers in the state, and that's the intent of the money, not to send them to training to fill some inadequacy, but to link them up with that organization.
And I would suggest that you not delete the entire line item. Having money there, $500, is a recruiting tool. It shows that you care and gives them flexibility. All of them will.
Well, I was fine with it the next year. I think with all the duties you're going to have on an IT position, which we haven't even totally approved yet, they're going to be quite busy just getting to know all the different tasks. So I don't know. I just looking for it's a pretty small amount to take out. It doesn't make a huge difference in the budget. I just don't think it's absolutely necessary at this point. So you want to leaving it at 500, take out 1,000. Every little bit helps, but I just don't see it. And I think before we continue to talk about that further, we might want to talk about the IT position. Right now, Ms. Liberta, how much time are you spending on IT?
I probably spend slightly under 10% of my time.
And so your recommendation is to hire a full-time person for $87,000 plus
estimated
benefits?
$85,000.
Plus benefits?
Yes.
And it's quite a substantial change from what we have right now. And I understand it can lead to savings in that, but that is yet to be proven that that will do that. It could actually cost us more by a lot more recommendations as well. And then if you're going to be eliminating a part of your job, are you still expecting your contract with your automatic pay increase to be continued?
The intent of the switch was so that I could focus on largely personnel, human resources projects that are not getting the diligence they deserve, particularly since Act 10. So it's refocusing my
my efforts. And in particular, although I may only spend 10% of my time on the technology side of things, that's because we're maintaining what I would probably fairly say is maintaining base levels of services. We haven't been moving it forward to the degree we could if we had an IT professional there who could take the strategic plan that we spent a lot of time developing. That year we did it, I spent nearly 20% of my time on IT, I think, if I remember. But some of those efforts and the direction that IT can go needs that dedication of the effort. And so that's why a personnel technician position that was funded for this year but never filled has been, those monies have been retargeted to the IT, because although we have, Dana and myself, both human resources professionals, you're getting human resources advice, you're not getting professional IT response. I've overseen IT departments since the late 90s. I did it for all of Kenosha County. I did it for the town of Caledonia. But unless someone's there day in, day out, advancing the needs of the technology agenda, the departments aren't getting the service that they could, and the progress isn't being made there. So that's the switch. I don't see that switch causing me to be doing any less work than I'm currently doing. So no, I would not. Speaking for myself as a personal now, since that's how the question came, I would not expect my contract to change, because I believe I would be working just as hard.
Okay, let me do a little organizational business here. We've got a motion on the floor. It doesn't relate to that. It relates to the conferences and schools budget. So let's finish with that and go back to this discussion. But let's try to be parliamentary about it. Madam Clerk, the motion.
Alderwoman Wilhelm moved to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2015 budget by striking conferences and schools in the amount of $1,500 in information services, seconded by Alderwoman Mayer.
Is that your motion? Seeing no more discussion, Alderman Schmidt.
Wasn't there a discussion on just reducing it to like 500 then?
That was an option.
That was not the motion. You got a motion.
Still with this motion, then.
Right, that's fine.
I would consider, if you wanted me to amend my motion, I would change it to that, but that the motion right now is the motion.
Well, I would ask that the motion be amended, then, to make it $500 instead of striking $1,500.
Is there a second to the amendment?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
No.
Roll call, please.
Alderman D'Andrea.
No.
Alderman Mayer.
No.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
The vote is 2 ayes, 4 noes. The motion.
3-3.
Motion vote, the mayor votes no. Now on the original motion, $1,500 reduction. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
No.
All those opposed?
No.
No.
Wonderful. Are you guys practicing this?
I hear a no instead of an aye.
All right, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
No.
Alderman D'Andrea.
No.
Mayor breaks tie. No. The motion is 4-3. The motion fails. Alderman Willem.
Okay, so we'll continue on. I was wondering if we've ever looked at contracting out versus adding a manager for the IT, contracting out the whole department and someone who's capable of that. We are contracting out with Heartland right now. They're not able of providing us someone in that position that can handle that, you know, all the different things you want them to do. Or you're looking for this person who's going to oversee the Heartland employees.
They absolutely could handle it. There are many firms that do this. The problem is when you get up to the director level, at the consultant level, it's very expensive to get hourly service for even a database administrator. And we would look for an IT director to be above that. We're looking at $110 an hour from Heartland, and we're on the low end of their rate. They're cutting their services for us considerably because of the historical contract we've had with them for a number of years. So you're not going to get a full-time person going through a contracted service. So,
and what do we save if we have this position be a part-time or three-quarters time versus a full-time on the benefits issue?
You won't be a buyer.
Well, that's your opinion. There's always people looking for jobs. The question was, to Asperta, what would we save in benefit package?
If you bring it under... you'd have to bring it under 30 hours per week and stay there, documented there, including all overtime. Otherwise, you would have to offer them benefits under the PACA, the Obamacare, because that's where they've redrawn the line at 30 hours. So you could save, I think we budgeted about $18,000 for... assuming the person comes in with family health insurance. That's our standard practice. You budget everybody at family health insurance. If it turns out they come in and don't have that, then we don't pay the cost. So if you schedule it, and you bring it in at a halftime person and really keep it to that, recognizing then that even though it's FSLA exempt, you'll have to track all those hours worked, all meetings that they come to. So that's going to reduce the actual hours you have in the office, because you'll have to consider that to make sure you keep them under that 30. Otherwise, you're going to have to give them health insurance anyway. So will you be able to get somebody? That is one of those lightning strikes that happened. Often what you're getting is somebody coming back into the workforce or somebody looking to phase out toward a retirement. That, from my experience, from every time I've hired somebody, a professional as a part-time, that's what I've received. Someone coming back into the workforce, usually after a period of leaving the workforce to be with a family, or somebody who's, you know, sitting within 5 to 7 years of retirement and looking to phase out because they've got what they need.
Or someone young getting started who might be up on new technology and needs a job.
And gone in a year.
Yeah, those there you usually find very quick turnover because they're looking for full-time. So where in my career where I found that successful is one of those first two groups of people. You fill it with somebody moving on. They usually aren't just looking for something, and you've got about it.
And we're seeing this as being a permanent position from now on, that we're not?
Absolutely. We're probably, of our peer communities, looking like Oak Creek and West Allis and Wauwatosa. We actually have one of the smallest centralized IT commitments, and I think I would find IT directors in each of them.
Well, one of the things that I see with the budget is we're going up in many, many categories. Like it's 2.2% increase in the budget for, I'd have to go back and look at all the figures on that, but I just, I'm concerned that we're going to just keep increasing, we keep adding employees. We're not going to be able to afford what we have. And we're talking about filling what you said was a 10% usage of yours. Now we can turn this into, even if we double, triple that 30% time, it's a lot more than what you're getting now. And when we had our meeting, I talked about my disappointment in the fact that the IT sort of is another body, but yet we're short in the inspection department. We're very short in the inspection department. And I don't see really any resolution to that. And I would be more comfortable adding a half-time person in inspection and having this be in a half time so we could at least get both, and then if things work out, we can always bump one or the other up to a full time. But just playing it a little bit low-keyed and a little more cautious at this point, if we're going to try to keep up with all the supposed development we want to encourage, we're not going to be able to do it with the inspection department we have now. So, and on that worksheet in the inspection department, and we're not on that right now, but my decision on if I want to support full-time IT versus additional inspection depends on what your thoughts are on how to deal with that inspection. And one of the things that I said to Ms. Liberta was, Ms. Liberta made a policy decision that basically took the power away from the council to get their complaints done. And I understand why he did that and why he felt he needed to do that, but because of the department, Fred and his situation and someone leaving. But I asked him, what did the aldermen get back for that? Now I've got, and I have with me, my huge stack
of...
Let's
stay on IT.
Well, my IT decision on keeping that position, like I said, is dependent on filling the other position or not. And,
okay.
Mayor, I want you to be aware that I have a huge stack of complaints that are unresolved. And my job, as well as the alderman up here, job, is to work for their constituents as well and help solve their problems. We can't do that with the current inspection. And you're talking about a full-time IT in your budget versus solving the inspection issue. And I'd like to know how we're going to solve that problem. Because I need to have a little bit more. I need to have the permit issues taken care of, and the complaints.
Okay. Let me address this IT position. If you'll indulge me, turn back to page 46 in the capital budget. You'll see under the Information Services Department, the very first item is a point-to-point wireless network connection from the Department of Public Works and actually the Sewer and Water Department as well. And the department requested $30,000. That was based on their best estimates and recommendations of our contracted staff as to how to fix a problem whereby we have a piece of software that's quite frankly bandwidth hog. And they can't effectively use it at the outlying offices. I took it out because my experience tells me that this particular solution is not current technology. It's not fixing a problem. Sorry, Paul. It's not fixing the problem. The problem is it's a bad piece of software. So what I'm looking for is someone forward-thinking with a broad range of experience that will look at the problem and solve the problem as opposed to just fix the issue. And that's the kind of person that I'm looking for. And you don't get that with contract, not because they're not available, but because we can't afford them. So, we're talking about a new security system in this city hall and tying it in perhaps with the police and fire departments. So I'm looking for a person who understands that technology and the ramifications of it and how we seamlessly integrate it into our personnel management system as well. You swipe your card in, there's your time card. But somebody needs to look at that big picture, and you don't get that with consultants. So that's my short answer.
Can you go on to how this will relate or not relate to other position, I guess, was
my more concern. I appreciate that. And by the way, I report to the constituents just like you. They call you and they call me. They call us both. And I recognize the pack of inspection complaints that we have. Don't I, Mark? And don't we talk about this? I don't believe as a council we should make short-term decisions based on long-term decisions based on a short-term issue due to an illness and a resignation. So let's understand what the scope of the issue is before we make our decisions. Mark had interviews today, got a good one. It's going to cost us some money, but so we'll have, we will be fully staffed, not fully operational, and then there's still the remaining position that we're still wrestling with as to whether we should hire or not.
Can I clarify that? So you're,
sure.
Are you talking about replacing the person that left and hiring one more, or are you just talking about replacing the person that left?
I'm considering hiring one more.
If you look at page 248, and I can appreciate the alderman's confusion on this because we do have what I'll call a typo that will help clarify. If you look at page 248, the assistant building inspector line for 2014, you can see says one and it has the double asterisk. If you look at the heading to that table, that says authorized positions. Staff, under the authority of the mayor, can only fill a position if it is authorized. It needs to be authorized and funded. That additional building inspector, when put in the 2014 budget, was not authorized, but it was funded. So that's why those asterisks were there that leads to the footnote that says a new 0.9 FTE position is funded but not yet authorized. So we have not come back to the council yet during this year asking to have that authorized, but the funding's already there in 2014 to fill one additional position beyond the vacancy that was created when Tony left. So in the 2015 column, those asterisks should also be included because the funding is fully there for one additional body. So we can come back at any time and ask to move that forward. We now have a certified list from the Civil Service Commission to be able to interview and fill those positions. In 2013, the year-end revenue for building inspection was over $100,000 above the budgeted number. So the reason it was not authorized is because the Common Council a year ago said, we want to see that the revenue is actually there. Well, it's already there. It's in the bank. 2013 went straight to the $100,000 of what went to the bottom line was building inspection revenue. That's more than sufficient to fully fund the 2014 position. And that position was carried over. So for 2015, back on that table, the correction that needs to be made is either adding two asterisks, meaning until you authorize it, I can't do it, or changing the one to a two and saying beginning 2015, it's already authorized. So that is one, absent of direction from you guys changing it to a two, we would assume it's a continued double asterisk in that line. But there is a full another body already funded, just not authorized.
Okay, well, that's either misleading or clarifying. So how do we want it handled here? Your budget, how we should like.
Well, my budget, I would have been happy with a motion to recommend as submitted, but this is now.
Well, he's saying that there's basically an error that it either has to be this or changed to two. And
just
I
put two asterisks there and be done with it. This chart is relatively meaningless in the scope of things. It's how we implement it.
Well, when I read it, it helps
how would you
me
like
understand it?
It. How would you
I like would it? Like it to say two, but. You know, I don't know if there's support they have to. I don't think once, you know, things pick up, then.
The alderman, with all the respect, Mayor, the alderman is accurate. It is an important table because those are the authorized ones. So an authorized and funded position, staff under your authority can go out and fill. If funded but not authorized, you don't have the authority to let staff fill that position yet. So a motion to tentatively recommend amending page 258.
Wait. Let's We're still on the IT budget.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm sitting here.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm sitting here. I think keep this stuff in track. Now, we've got some other elements.
But when we get there, if you change that to two, it will address the concern that there is a body to address the alderman's concern.
Alderwoman Mayer has been waiting patiently, as has Alderman Evans.
I just have a question regarding the part-time IT. This person isn't starting, at my understanding, until probably April, once everything would get going. Is that something where, you know, for those first 8 months, it could be a part-time kind of thing for us to see as a council how that position is working?
If you're only hiring a part-time person, you'll have a lot of difficulty finding someone who wants to come to a part-time job. In the end, though, every position is that way, because you can eliminate the position and say, in next year's budget, you can say, it's not what we are going for. I don't expect that will be what you find by any stretch, or we wouldn't have recommended it be put in, but every position in the budget, you have the authority to eliminate with the majority voted budget tightening. There are certain statutory officers, the clerks, correct me. There are certain statutory officers you have to have under state statute. That's correct.
But this is
I don't know if I'm completely convinced that you're not going to find anybody. I mean, there's IT people out there who need jobs, and they are looking. So is this something where we can, you know, try it on and see how much we get out of it? I mean, you've been doing it, you know, less than 10% of the time. We need more than that, obviously, but is it something that the council would consider?
My answer to that, in defense of the request for the position, is quite simply, I would like someone who has some vision, some experience in the industry, was willing to look in the best interests of the city and the departments in making good recommendations.
Do you have someone in mind already? Or do you have someone in mind already?
I have no one. I'd love to have someone in mind, but I don't. The reason it's starting in April is a budget issue, just to keep the numbers down and allow us the time to find somebody good. That's what I think. But it may be easy to find a technician, somebody to fix your Outlook, but that's not the kind of person I'm looking for. They'll have that capability, but that's not the kind of person. I'm looking for somebody that can take a look at a problem the chief has with the way his MDTs work and noodle it around a little bit, come up with a creative solution. That's the kind of person I'm looking for. I'm looking for a person who can maybe implement GPS systems into our snowplow operation to see if we can't reduce our fuel usage with more effective mapping.
I just don't know if you're giving these guys enough credit, or women enough credit.
Our current
they're out there.
Our current consultants?
No, people that we would be looking for a position like this.
Alderman, I believe what you'd be looking at is, you know what, because of the timing, for the budget to get approved, create a job description, advertise. You're probably going to hold off your advertisement to early in the new year, because right around December is not a good time to advertise. There are a lot of people not paying attention to it because they're busy. So that's why we budgeted April 1st. So if you bring somebody in around April 1st for a start, you're going to be sitting this time next year, them having been in place for 6 months, and you're looking at their budget and going to be able to say, you know, bring them in and have them sit here right in part of the budget meeting, what have you accomplished for 6 months, and where do you see this going next year? You've now had a chance to see what's what, and if they can't show you that it's been beneficial to you, and by you I mean all of the majority of you, the next year you can determine that the position doesn't need to continue being funded. So in that sense, you're only making a funding decision for 2015, which is a 9-month funding decision.
Well, you can't go backwards. I don't think you're going to go backwards. You're going to have a full-time person and then just say, oh, well, maybe that's not working out. We're going to go half-time. I'm just saying start half-time and move forward if we want to.
We did go backwards.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you were saying you only wanted to test the position for 6 to 8 months and see how it worked. I don't know.
It's just a lot of money. It's $113,000 a year. So that's my concern. If we could get it the same thing for cheaper, that would be my vote.
Is that it?
Yes.
Alderman Evans.
Well, I think we do need someone who has a vision, as you said, and someone who will take ownership in our city. And I think we're behind the times without an IT director. And in talking to a lot of the department heads, I think a lot of them are looking towards the future, which is a good thing. And if we talk about not hiring more employees in the future for our budget in the future, I think that's short-sighted. I think our next budget, we're going to have to talk about hiring more employees. And in looking in this budget, it says we have to just sustain right now. Well, to me, sustaining is painful. That's a word that is painful. So I think right now, I think everyone did a great job, and I thank all of the departments for doing a great job in sustaining in this budget. But we have to, hiring an IT director, I think, is forward-thinking and a very good idea. So I'm in favor of that.
Well, I'm not sure I'm hearing anyone who's really not in favor of it. I think it's a matter of, for me, it's a matter of how much time the person has into that position, and even more so, the fact about what's going to happen with the other department, which apparently we're not going to get the answer to that until we get through this one. So it would be nice if we could do it the other way around, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen that way. And the other issue that also ties into this is Mr. Liberta's contract, which the last time it came up, he has a contract that automatically, if it doesn't come before the council, it automatically gets approved, correct?
It renews, yes.
Right. And I don't think there's anyone up on this council that knows that contract even exists in that form. And so you're giving up a position to hire a position, and you're getting a pay raise on that when most employees aren't getting a pay raise, and your contract isn't even known to the council. And that's fine if everybody wants to vote in a pay raise for you, but I guess we should at least be renewing your contract. They should at least be knowing that it exists.
To stay on IT.
Again, these things weigh into my decision on that. So we're going to move on and leave it as is for now, and then hopefully you'll answer my question on what your intentions are in the inspection department, and if you will be bringing Ms. Liberta's contract back so that everyone on the council is familiar with it. Because if it doesn't come back in a certain amount of time, it will automatically happen. And when I'm gone, no one on this council will know about it again. And I think that, you know, it just continues to happen over and over, and there are employees that aren't getting any increases.
That's not factually correct, but anyway.
There are employees that haven't gotten
So we're anything. Talking about information services for the moment. We'll get to that when we get to administration. Any recommendations, any motions regarding the IT budget fund? Okay, let's Let's skip over to building inspection, 248. That, as well as Mr. Liberta's budget, the issue currently is, do we make 2015 assistant building inspector a 2 with 2 asterisks or a 1 with 2 asterisks? Alderman Dandrea.
No, I'd recommend that we keep it the way we have it and make sure that that department is operating now as Fred is back full-time, unless he's going to be retiring. Has he announced it? Has he mentioned anything to you in regards to his health, his retirement plans?
Yeah, he hasn't submitted any retirement papers.
Okay, so he's alluded to nothing like that. But we haven't funded. We just haven't authorized it, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and now we want to possibly add a second funding?
It's the same funding that's just there. It's just whether or not the administration has authority to go out and fill the position. Okay. Right now, for 2014, the asterisks prohibit us from filling that position without coming before Common Council and getting authorization. If absent any direction otherwise, those two asterisks would be added to 2015 as a correction of a typo. But if the Common Council wants it to move forward, then that one should be changed to a 2, becomes an authorized position. It doesn't change the tax levy. It doesn't change the budget. It's already a funded position in 2015. It would just mean we wouldn't have to bring it back before you because you've already considered it here.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned 2013 revenue. What was 2014's revenue for licensing and permits? Coming in pretty much on budget.
Building permits.
So down about 50,000 from 2013's numbers?
13 was 765,391.
Our year-to-date for 2014...
474,065.
Year-to-date is 347.
Is 347.
Okay.
With 2013's being 765. We're estimating next year at 725.
Okay. So I would recommend that we keep it the way we've had it, and we would authorize it if we see a need. I mean, we're going to fill the position. And yes, we've been strapped this year because we had someone that quit and Fred was out of medical leave. I mean, granted, I have people in my area too, but I'm not necessarily interested in authorizing that at this point until we can see how this department is operating cohesively.
Mr. Liberta.
Just to be clear, if you're looking at where that increase was added, you would compare the 725 not to the 2013, because remember, the 2013 already has that 100,000 in. So you would compare it to 2012, which was 595. So what you've seen is for 2013, it was already 100,000 above. We're continuing the 100,000 above, and we're projecting 100,000. So that added position is fully funded, plus has the year head start from already having 100,000 in the bank. So when it was added this time last year, 2013, you were looking at revenues of less than 600,000. We continue to be above 700,000.
And let me assure the council, Mr. Liberta and I talk about this regularly. He beats me up. I push back. He gives me rationale. I push back. We're going to do this with a long view. We're not just going to plug holes. Alderman Will.
I thought I'm hearing Ms. Liberta say several times that if we want to fill the position immediately, we put a 2 in the 2015
can count.
By immediately, that would be January 1st, because
right.
it's still not authorized for 2014. But.
And right, and what the council is thinking, that if we put a 2 there, that means you're going to go out and hire 2 people. That's what they're reading when they see.
Well, we're filling the existing vacancy, which is what the 1 is now, the person who left. We're filling that now. We held interviews today. That's really not in question. It's that second unauthorized. And if you put the 2 there, then come January, we'd be able to bring on a new additional body to handle the workload that, frankly, as the revenue stream shows, we have that level of permit activity.
Right, and that's why I'm thinking we should put a 2 there, because the revenue shows that, but I'm not thinking that the council is understanding that that's what that means. So somebody needs to explain it in a different way, I think. So.
Alderman DeAndrea, and then Alderman.
What you're doing, Kristen, what you're saying is if we put the 2 there, we're authorizing it. That's basically what we're doing. We're authorizing to put it to hire a position. That
right
now, as it sits, it's just funded, and we can decide to fund to authorize next year. That's how it was this year. Look, we went through all this year with it. Granted, I want to be forward thinking as well, but I don't want to have excess staff either.
Point is authorization is merely a council action and a vote of 4 of you. That's all we're talking about here.
But if we authorize,
then it's over.
It's over.
Well, where it begins.
I mean, but then they can go out and they can go out and hire.
Alderwoman Evans.
Well, I would like to make the motion that I move to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2015 budget by changing the FTE to 2 in the assistant building inspector's 2015 column.
Support for that motion?
I'll second.
That recommended motion? Any other discussion to that motion?
I just have a question.
Alderman, Mayor.
So Fred is back, and you've just interviewed for the other position.
Yes.
And they've been handling it all year. How good of a job have they been doing all year?
They're about to die, but.
Yeah, we've had mandatory
really.
Overtime.
Yeah,
we've had tough. One employee who's had maybe 3 days off in the last month, but pretty much full Saturdays. That's when we've had an emergency employee for a couple of days a week that we don't have. The person's not filling it now. So what we've lived through with, we don't even have. We're 0.4 FTE down from where we've been when Fred was gone. So, no,
so we need
it
at least a half
successful.
A person.
Pardon?
We need at least a half a position to do the workload that we actually have.
Well, please, one thing that hasn't even come up and you may not even be recognizing is this time last year when they put in the non-author or the funded position, you did allow me to bring in a person who's working 2 days a week since last year, which is Tom Fell, who's was one of the positions eliminated years ago. He went and worked somewhere else and then retired. And he's been working for us all year at 2 days. So if we fill that position full-time, then that one goes away. So even filling it full-time, you're only going to gain 3 days a week. It isn't even full-time. So that's the little piece that is sort of isn't reflected anywhere on the table, that last November you authorized it to be filled. We expected come April he would go away and we'd fill it with a full-time position. That wasn't authorized. We never came back and asked for it, but Tom has continued for those approximate 2 days a week. So that will discontinue. So you're only gaining around the 0.6 in total. And you're not really gaining a whole body because Tom will fade away into his retirement.
Let me remind my colleagues that this discussion should not be isolated to the inspections department. I can't think of a department off the top of my head in this city that doesn't work well past their requirements and that aren't understaffed. So let's be careful about adding bodies because you think they're overworked. I mean, Joel's overworked. The PD's overworked. Fire department, not so much. Sorry, I'm kidding. Jerry's guys during snowstorms, and I mean, you know, Bill's people are always working hard, and Sandy's people are just, when I first took office, down to two people in the clerk's office. I mean, with no help. So, I just think about it. On the motion.
Motion of changing that. We have a motion and a second. And another piece to that puzzle is for every time we can't get an inspection done, it's a permit, and a permit fee that doesn't come in. And when they're behind, we're losing that.
I understand the statement. It's not truly true, but I understand. But as well,
I don't know what truly true means.
Well, the request for the permit will still come in. I mean, you're going to build your house. You're going to build your house. You're going to buy your dishwasher.
Well, actually, that's not 100% correct because I'd like to pull out a permit to do something, but it's going to take so long that it's going to miss the deadline of when I have to do it. So I'm not going to do it because I can't get the permit. So if there's other people like me, I'm sure that there are, and so that's not truly true.
But understand that as the mayor, working with Mr. Liberta and Fred, we're going to be working on other things to perhaps even out the workflow. On the motion, Mr. Dandridge.
On the motion. Question for just to get clarified, how much backlog was there when all three inspectors were on staff? Compared to, I can't look at an individual quitting and then one taking medical leave, and now we've got an exorbitant amount of backlog. What was the backlog prior to having all three of these working?
We were able to keep up with the 10-day permit turnaround for that level of activity we were having at that time. But we were already delaying enforcement and complaint work. So we were at the early stages of beginning to fall behind, which was why Fred had to put in extra hours and push his workload into evenings. So he was going out and doing more and more inspections instead of the supervisory work. We stopped doing quality control oversight, but given the people we had on staff at the time, that wasn't an issue, so that was something we could give up. But if you're looking at the economy continuing to improve and you're looking to make any progress on complaints, the existing staff level of one assistant building inspector is insufficient to do it. We're above the ratios we were at when I was first hired and building inspection was first put under me, and that was the big complaint when I was first hired. And we were able to deal with it because the ratios of permits and inspections per inspector came down. Those are back up above 2007 and 8 levels now, and that's why we're back to the point where we're getting complaints. Right now we have a plan review backup that you know, is well beyond what it should be, where we're not at the 10 days. We're just getting inspections in, but we're at the more like, it's quite possible you could be looking in 3 days. We get complaints when we hit the 2 days. People expect them the next day. And that's where we have satisfaction in an important component of our community's business sector.
Sure. You know, the reason why I'm asking these questions is if I'm going to vote yes to fund this position, I want to make sure that we didn't have a backlog problem previously. And your answer says, yes, we did have a previous backlog. Now, the question is we had this position funded. Why didn't you come to us mid-year here and ask us to authorize the position because we had problems?
So I wouldn't let.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Okay.
that's a fair position. Coming into the year, Mayor Taylor said, look, you're going to have a new mayor in April. Let's wait till then. Mayor Olson came in and did not want to be greeted the first day with, we got to hire somebody. He's like, well, let's wait and see where we are. So April, May, now we're starting the budget process. And in June and July, we're asking department heads for personnel. So the thought was, don't hire somebody that then may not survive the budget process. Where are we? So it's really a series of very rational events that lead you to right now saying, okay, is now the time to go.
Well, on the motion. All right. Madam Clerk, please.
Alderwoman Evans, seconded by Alderman Schmidt, moved to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2015 budget by changing the FTE from 1 to 2 in the assistant building inspector columns for 2014 and 2015.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion. I'll just call it a 5-aye, no noes, and 1 abstain. And let the record reflect if Alderman Mayor has left her seat. Let's allow the librarian to go home. Since there's nothing we can do with her budget, please turn to page 13. Since this common council has no authority over this budget, any questions for the librarian? Seeing none, go home.
Okay.
All right. I'm now trying to keep track of all of this. 179, administration and human resources. Any questions on administration and human resources?
I just one quick clarification. In this budget is my contract. The only increases that occur with whatever happens to every other general employee. It's not a separate increase.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Would you object to bring the contract back on the next agenda, the next council agenda?
What would be the, in addition to the information and exclusive of the information, what would be the interest in having that done?
So we could know what the contract was, what the increase is?
Certainly, I'm willing to do that.
Okay.
I'm not willing to renegotiate the contract. It's a personnel matter. And Mr. Levert is performing to the level I expect him to.
My concern is that it's something that was put in place originally, I don't know, back in
9 years ago.
9 years ago, and it continues to have the same language that it automatically gets the increase if it doesn't come before the council. But if no one on the council knows about it, no one would ever have the opportunity to question that.
I'm happy to get the council a copy of this contract.
Okay, so
I'll have an issue with that.
Okay.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Does that contract have to be approved by the council?
No. It's been approved. Mr. Roberto.
It's the common council that approves it. They last approved it, I believe, in 2012 when they asked to change it to bring finance under me and move the budget. directly under me when the reorganization occurred and planning was moved. So the change was made at that time, and at that time they changed how they wanted me to pay for these last 3 years, and it was set up that beginning in 2015, it carries forward unless there's other action, and the only adjustments that happen to my pay is what happens to other non-reps. So I presume it will be in the study just like everybody's else, but the Common Council controls anything that happens to it.
Anything else? Administration further. Finance. Seeing none, we'll move on to the assessor, page 195. Contracted service. Non-reassessment here. Any questions on the assessor's budget? If not, let's move through to page 200, the city attorney's office. Same budget's been for the last 50 years. And you all know that the city attorney has hired another attorney for his office.
Yes.
Okay. Congratulations.
How does that affect us?
There's somebody else to help you out. Jesse?
Funding is in the current budget, and it's supplemented because of other municipal services elsewhere, in addition to Hales Corners and Germantown. We have now been retained as city attorneys for the city of Mequon. And so with the funding in the budget, it allowed the $30,000 item that was brought up for some other purpose a couple of months ago, I think. That will give the city of Franklin general legal services at the rate of 50 hours per month on average over the course of the year, plus municipal court at the fixed rate as in the current budget, and the new employee will be handling that probably within the next month or so. So that's somewhere in the neighborhood of probably minimum 70 to up to 90 hours per month for what's fixed in the current budget.
Congratulations on that. Congratulations, SADAC, on that one. Don't get less than those. Anything else on the city attorney's case? All right, municipal buildings, 203. Also under Mr. Liberta. Any questions, any issues? There is one move here that we are changing a contract service to in-house labor. Alderman Wallum.
Well, I noticed that this has the roof projects that's in here.
Under the capital.
Under the capital. That was the one I had because the roof project is in there, but the facade of the front entrance way wasn't that far.
All right, let's turn back to page. To page 47. Where is that, Mark?
Three quarters way down. It says City Hall roof face 1 and 2, and then the City Hall entrance remodel.
So that puts, if you carry across to the recommended, you'll see $500,000. That was based upon very rough estimates I received from the architect who helped us on, gave us advice on the roof project. We scaled it back a little bit and assumed likely not quite as much effort in the rear and the health wing door, focusing on the front, the main front entrance by outside this door, and then parallel activity over by the building inspection entrance to create balance.
But that's a pending project, not an approved project. So the only the roof repairs are approved.
I believe that's correct, Paul.
The other one's pending. But the situation is, if we got to take off that overhang that comes over the roof, we're getting into the siding, and if you do the roof without doing that part of it,
that's what generates.
Yeah. No, we won't. You've previously indicated we should move forward with the roof, so we put that in the approved projects. But we recognize that the pending issue has to be resolved prior to actually moving forward with the roof. So we're not going to go out and contract for the roof change until we've resolved that front entrance issue, and you've decided you either want to make a move or you decided not to make it.
So, but when the one's in here under approved projects, you can go ahead and act on it, but the other one you can't act on. So how can you resolve that one if you can't act on it? Because it's down in pending projects versus approved projects.
You've already authorized us to act on it. You've hired the roofing consultant. He's done the plans. We've got specs we're close to. And we're sort of
I'm talking
for the
about
roof. So we're putting that on hold while we'll address the pending aspect.
And then you're going to bring that forward and move this pending up to approve. That would be your recommendation when you're ready for that?
This was my decision, so I'll answer the question. Until you have a design criteria and some idea what you want to do, it's not fair to the common council to have the project as approved.
True.
So you go out, you get your design, it's $780,000. That ain't going to work. So you work on it, you come back, and now you got one at 427. You bring it to the council, it's four ayes, two noes, and off you go.
Right.
It's not that difficult.
That wasn't my statement. My statement was, the intention is that before you move forward, you're going to bring in the pending, and you will move the pending up.
Yes.
After
that was my question.
Alderman Baird get together and figure it out.
Okay.
All right.
Which I haven't heard.
I'm sorry.
Will that entail any landscaping tool in the front?
Now, okay. Here's my other thought, because the original recommendation from staff was a much higher dollar amount. You're talking about putting $500,000 on the beautifying entrances to a building that was built in 1974. Unless you have a larger term view, it doesn't make sense to me to spend a lot of money on entrances if you're not looking at everything else. So that's why tamp it down a little bit, come with your recommendation, let's see what it is, because frankly, this building may need more help than that. So that's why you just don't go crazy and say, well, how about landscaping? My bugaboo to be done. So, all right, I've forgotten where we are. We were on the city attorney's budget, weren't we? Municipal buildings, any changes?
I just don't want anybody to assume that the committee between Dan and I have set any figure for $500,000 on the front entrance way, because it hasn't even been discussed yet. So
no, I
just
didn't say that.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's clear.
Any changes in municipal buildings, Mr. Liberta?
Just pointing out a correction on page 204. When that budget summary was drafted, the replacement of the office carpeting in the city hall and the security system was still at 62, so we'll make those typo corrections to reflect the final number submitted to the recommended budget.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Speaking of typo corrections, I gave a couple to Paul and he agreed that that's all
God
we were
you.
And he's going to take care of those. So
God bless you.
I don't know if we need to.
Any changes? Seeing none, we'll move on to insurance, page 209. There ain't nothing you can do here, folks. Any changes to insurance? Seeing none, let's move to 214, Police Department. Any questions? Changes? The Chief and Captain Schrader are here, protecting and serving.
No, I did not raise my hand.
All right, no changes to the police? Oh,
nope. No, all I want to do is ask about the amount of overtime that we have in all of these departments, in both departments, fire and police, and that what's the approval process for overtime?
It all depends on what type of overtime we're talking about. A lot of that overtime is court overtime. It's mandatory. Officers get subpoenaed to court. They have to appear. And it's kind of like because it's not with that. A lot of that overtime is appearances in front of the district attorney's office. Again, mandatory overtime. Cannot be approved or disapproved, I should say. A lot of that overtime is to fill vacancies on shifts. That does have to be approved. There is a process, procedure in place that dictates when those positions are to be filled. And those are subject to approval process. And then there's the overtime that needs to be approved when there's identified need for extra services, mainly for special events. Particularly busy nights. For example, this coming winter, common thing will happen overnight toward rush hour traffic. We'll have 5-6 accidents. People going to work. We'll need to keep over several late shift officers to help manage the accidents and reports. So those are all pre-approved by supervisors.
Okay.
I don't know if that answers your question. But
sure. It's a large item on the, you know, in the budget. And just so long, and I'm sure you're cognizant of it, but to watch our overtime hours. We can prevent it. We try to prevent it where we can.
Absolutely. Overtime is there for necessary expenses. It's not given freely, to tell you that.
Okay. I appreciate it.
He even looks a little like Alderman Sell. Mr. Liberta.
From putting on my human resources director hat, one thing I've seen with both of the chiefs in managing their overtime is those parts that are controllable, you know, where they're looking at shift minimums, they you know, focus on the real need, the hours, the days of the week, what's happening, and they more actively manage those overtimes to our financial benefit than I've seen in other departments I've worked with and other organizations. So I think they do a very good job of controlling the controllable aspects of
it. Okay. Thanks.
I've said it 100 times, and I try not to try to be myself with this, but our management staff does an excellent job managing their budgets. And frankly, there isn't a lot of in the protective services. It's not a lot you can do to avoid overtime. Hiring 6 more patrol officers doesn't get you through the problem of court appearances. Similarly with the fire department, yeah, we could do another shift of 6, but that doesn't stop your entire overtime problem. So, so they do a great job at this. I commend them. We talk about it, but okay. So, anything else on the police? Any changes to the budget? Let's move to fire without objection. 230. Questions? Questions? Seeing none. Building inspection. We talked about the body, and a motion was made on that. Any other questions or comments or changes? Seeing none. Sealer of weights and measures. This one ought to be a doozy. Page 254. All right, 2 pages past that. Doesn't anyone want to talk about weights and measures?
Before we jump too far ahead, I should note that you did inadvertently skip page 212, which is unclassified and contingent.
No.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, let's keep on a roll, and then we'll go back to that, because there's bodies here. Okay. All right, engineering, public works. Questions, staff? Questions of staff? Questions for staff? Alderwoman Will.
Well, this is a question for, I guess, between Ron and Jerry. As you know, you've both been around here long enough to know that how strongly the residents and I both feel about College Avenue and the need for pedestrian access. at least from 35th to 27th Street. Ms. Liberta has told me that if we want to try to use the Community Development Block Grant Program, that we would need to send out a survey. Is this correct, Ms. Liberta, that there is a survey that would require to show an income level to qualify for the block grant?
Yes, because the area without breaking down the blocks further than the federal government provides does not qualify.
And how this question applies to the two of you was that there would need to be some money for that survey to be done prior to the block grant. And I had asked, you know, to try to find some funds. And one of the recommendations was, some of it was to come out of the engineering budget, but I didn't have a chance to talk to you about it and wouldn't want to do that without having you, you know, understand any of that. And then as far as, there was another item that I talked about from Jerry's, but it was a real small amount on the tree budget, about $2,000, but I'm not going to make that motion. That would be to you, for you, Jerry. But I am, since engineering would be involved in the design of that, I wanted to know, maybe the two of you can briefly discuss that on how that might work. And Ron, if Mark Liberta gives you a proper, you know, breakdown of that, if that would be acceptable or how we could handle it.
Mr. Liberta, I'm from that.
What we've anticipated is we would need to begin at the department level talking with County Public Works to get them on board that it could work, and then bring in the Department of Neighborhood Development, the CDBG people. And what we've anticipated is we probably need to use about a total of $5,000, which is pretty adequate. That would give us the ability to have some either engineering interns or some of our summer help, maybe the people we use at the Treasury during the winter, who can walk that neighborhood and try and get the answers that the HUD would require in order to determine it complies. And it provides $3,500 for part-time employees, which would be, like I said, probably a couple people at around $9 an hour for a few weeks of work to basically walk that area and collect information. And it provides about $1,500 for mailings and brochures, you know, a notice that you could prepare and print and send to them so that they know it's coming, try and get people engaged, because you have to get sufficient. What I haven't built in there, which the HUD people will tell you that they need, when they tried to do this in a similar area, the only way they got people to respond was to give them a $50 gift card to fill out the form. I did not build in money for that. But seriously, I couldn't believe it, but that's what they said. They bought a ton of Target and Walmart gift cards, and if someone would fill out the form, they'd get a gift card. She says it's very difficult to get people to participate, but we put the time. I did not build in money for gift cards, but enough for some mailings and staff to go there. Then engineering and I could work with the DPW on a strategy on how to design that. That aspect of the project would all be done with existing and current staff and run. The presumption is that prior to CDBG application, we would have this work done so that the county would then agree to put some of their CDBG money to it. We would effectively dedicate ours for next year so that the county could pursue a path, and it would be a county project that we would put our money toward, but they're not going to do it unless we go out and get labor and it's eligible.
Okay, I support this. Supported all along. My biggest issue with this is it's a county highway, and here the city's doing county work again. And we're worried about getting our people to get the funding for this. It's a county project. So I would ask the alderman for the district to work with the county supervisors to have them do this. We'll continue down our path, but have the county do this. Alderman Wilson.
Well, if we get the block grant, it would be county funds. And when we were reconstructing College Avenue, they said, no, the city's going to have to pay for the pedestrian walkway. That's the county's policy. I don't know how to change county policy if you have a you know, magic way to do that, but that's so, like, while you like to say it's a county road, but they still end up giving the pedestrian access to the city.
Well, I don't dispute what you say, because it's true. My problem is he's got other things to do, he's got other things to do, he's got other things to do, and we're doing the county's work. The county ought to be doing this, and the county does change their policies all the time. Witness St. Martin's Road, 68th Street, how they're handling North Cape Road. So all I'm asking is, the alderman of the district, call the county supervisor and lay it on them. We'll continue down our path.
Well,
it's not an argument. It's go the separate.
I've already been that route. That's why I'm here with the item. I have already been that route with the county when we reconstructed College Avenue just a couple of years ago. You won't believe how many letters I wrote, and I met with Greenfield and Greendale and the county, and I met with all of them. The bottom line is Franklin has to pay for the sidewalk. That's it. That's the bottom line. So I've done my work. If you tell me to go out and do it again, I'm just going to repeat what I already did.
Well,
and now we're at
I
this
personally
point.
Would like you to do it again, because here's the reason for it.
It's not going to change anything.
Here's the reason for it. There's a bigger, here I go. There's a bigger picture to this. Tomorrow night we're going to approve a contract that's probably that will cost us $35,000 a year after 5 years. County cost passed to the municipality. You don't start pushing back, this is going to be a never-ending floodgate. And that's all I'm saying.
I have a question
for
you. Are you going to say the same thing about the DOT and the state projects, which are within your budget for us to take out of TIF money to pay? That's a state. So where are you fighting back on that issue? Just to throw back at you, it's, you know, on one hand, you're telling me that I can't get a little section from 27 to keep someone from getting killed. And on another hand, we're going to be putting in benches and garbage containers using TID funds on 27th Street. That's a DOT state project. And the criticism here from the constituents is we want to get down this road safely so we can go shopping at businesses, and they're seeing us putting in garbage cans and benches. They don't understand the difference there. We know the difference, but the constituents, we look like we don't care to the constituents because of that issue.
Okay, let me say this again. Let me be very clear. I support this. I've asked staff to work on this. Staff will continue to work on this. We'll go through it and do it. All I'm saying is it's a county issue. We need to continue to push back to the county that they should take care of their constituents for their road, even though we're moving forward to do it. Now, how does this different than the 27th Street? It's very simple. The state has not changed their rules, and the state doesn't push things down to us on a arbitrary basis.
Okay.
So, and we've known about those charges for years. And they would give us a road at zero cost to us if we wanted their road. We don't want their road. Mr. Liberta.
The distinction in this project, in this specific project that's being discussed, is the county has greater CDBG funds available than even we would be dedicating and would need it for this project. What the county DPW or engineering isn't likely going to do is do the legwork to make it federally eligible. I know the county's CDBG office isn't going to do that either. So the request that we've discussed with Alderman Wilhelm is that $5,000 to try and prove that it's going to meet the standards, then we can work with the county to say, you can use our CDBG allocation for a year, use some of your own,
And that lets the county find the money. It would be a county project. We wouldn't be doing the design work or anything. They just need somebody to prove federal eligibility. And that's what the $5,000 would do to see if, in fact, we can create something that meets the standards HUD require. If we do that, I have a sense that the county would jump on it, because there are times they're looking for capital projects, nice big projects that meet those standards. So especially if they're going to be able to use some of our money, our allocation for the year. So we would do the work in the front end of the year. It'd be a 2016 project if it's successful in meeting HUD standards.
Okay, we've killed this issue. You've got your stuff. Okay?
All right, I'll make a motion.
There's no need for a motion.
What?
It's in the budget. We're ready to go.
No, we haven't. She's looking to use $5,000 of contingency to add $3,500 for part-time and $1,500 for non-personnel printing, mailing, stuff like that, so that we can, without his normal staff who have to inspect road projects. Yeah.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
I just need the recommended areas for the breakdown. Part of it, that was why I was asking Ron if he had a little bit in his budget, and then part of contingencies wouldn't come out of one place. Ron doesn't even want to give me $1,000.
That's correct.
So
what is it, Mark? $5,000 out of contingency.
Okay.
That was my suggestion.
All right. Move to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2015 budget by increasing the, moving $5,000 from the unrestricted contingency to provide for canvassing of residents along College Avenue from 35th to 27th.
Support for that?
Second.
No other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Any other issues on the Public Works budget? This is the third elephant in the room. Come on. No other issues with engineering? Public Works. Okay.
Public Works.
Jerry, go home. No, Jerry, stay here. Parks and Highway.
Jerry, you want to
page 264. Any questions on Parks and Highway?
Yes. 261.
264 is the first page. While we're talking about engineering, I'm thinking of having a reception on the 21st prior to the council meeting.
Who is it?
Glenn Morrow. I'll eat the pizza. Anyhow, other one will.
Mayor, I think most of mine pertain back to the budget sheets and the capital. So I don't think they're necessarily.
We'll go back to capital. Let's finish this first. All right. Anything else on Highway and Parks?
No.
Let's move on then. Thank you. To page Highway Parks. The ever popular, always controversial, page 289. Anything on weed control? I say our rates are way too low. Okay. Public health.
Wait.
Paul. Mr. Rotzenberg, Director of Finance and Treasury.
Mr. Mayor, I believe that page 287 Street and got overlooked.
You are absolutely correct. Any issues on page 287? Any questions about
no.
Street lighting? The runway on Rawson Avenue? No? Okay.
No, but I need some streetlights on College.
Call the county.
Take your sidewalk.
No well, comments on weed control.
Even have stamps, I don't
Public health, page 291. Our health nurses here.
Health department.
We don't have anything new on what you and I talked about across the street to week.
No, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Mr. Alderman Schmidt.
I believe this is a very small budget here for Mr. Wucherer and his hardworking staff. And well, I believe you are working on a budget of about $800.
$800?
$8,000?
With a 6 and a 0 in front of it.
He's got a 608 budget.
608.
That would be news to me, Alderman Schmidt.
I just wanted to compliment you for what you're doing, and it's basically too after some of the more recent incidents that you've had to deal with in the community, and the fact that you're not putting in any major requests is very admirable considering all the responsibilities that your department deals with.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll convey that message to the staff.
Bill's department, by the way, is absorbing the efforts necessary due to the year's fitness challenge as well. And Bill and I were...
You need more money for that.
On Saturday. But, on that point...
He takes every excuse to miss that yoga.
Have you been getting notices on the mirrors? We're all encouraged to attend. It's all free. Thank you, Bill.
Just so we don't
I have a question.
Yes, Alderwoman Mayor.
So Alderman Schmidt was indicating that you didn't ask her very much. Did you get what you were looking for in the
I'm
budget?
I'm satisfied with the 2015 budget request. And the book was yes.
Okay.
Well said, Bill. Mr. LeVert.
I do want to point out that on the revenue side of this department, one of the areas where we've done some fine-tuning, the state has had a historical pattern of grants to Bill's department that supports his existing staff beyond what we budgeted. We've never increased the revenue to that level because if the state happened to pull that away, we couldn't afford to lose the staff. As part of that fine-tuning, because of the historical consistency of that, we've added that extra revenue. If it turns out the state takes it away this, you know, next year and didn't tell us, or the year after, you'll see us come back and not suggest that Bill then be told to eliminate people because the revenue is not there, but that we try to address it elsewhere. So we just wanted to be clear. We cautiously not put all the revenue in there so it didn't affect the FTEs if the state changes their pattern. If a new governor comes in and things change, the minimum level of staffing we have there is essential to keep their core activities going.
Come on, Chris.
Well, if we get E. Ebola, it might change.
Any changes? See none. Page 297, animal control. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
This is a favorite of mine as well. But I'm going to let Mark.
Real quick, because there is one sort of policy change in here from historically. For years, the city's participated and paid our share of a debt service from when the city first got into it and they built the new building.
And
that ended.
Crossed over on, yes.
That ended, and they've now, but the board has converted it to a capital funding cost so that they can now maintain the building that's getting sort of aged and they can replace things. Our costs have remained about the same, gone down a little bit. But there is a distinction in that it's now supporting a capital fund. We do have a seat on the board of directors, which is the mayor, as per the Manic agreement.
And everybody should know this, that it costs $195 to take an animal down. And Mark will adequately point out, as he always does to me, yeah, but you couldn't do it yourself for that kind of money. So I get it. Alderman Mayor.
Where is this building?
West Milwaukee.
Yeah, so I have to Google
Burleigh,
every time I drive there.
Like 50th and Burleigh. Mm-hmm. It's by a very
journal.
Nice building. We paid a lot of money for that.
It's over by the Journal Central building.
20% cost over when they came back in. By the way, they are looking as well to build an addition onto the building for, I want to say, at least $3 million. You are.
They're doing it.
Okay. Any change in animal control?
Sewer.
All right. Let's move on to page 299, recreation. This is a huge fund that supports seniors' activities. Any comments, questions? Alderwoman Evans.
In the footnotes, it says these funds support the Franklin senior citizens, including the walking club. I thought the walking club, it says in the newsletter they pay $5 and get a T-shirt, and then they walk. How do we support that?
The county initially didn't charge the program for the walking club. Then they did charge the walking club under County Executive Abley when he came in. He had that charge discontinued. But it's still part of the program, and we keep that language in there in the event that the county decides to start charging them again for use of the facility, that there would be no question that our appropriation could continue to be used for it as it was in the past.
Alderman Mayor.
I know that we get, like, reports from the senior travel, like, every quarter or every 6 months. Do we get anything from the citizens activity one, or, like, how is that?
We do in the Department of Administration. They submit detailed documentation for reimbursement, including all receipts, and then we process it. They have not, to my knowledge, made a report directly to the board in a number of years as to what they're doing, what they're using it for.
Do you know why there's such a difference between that? Why this travel program has to come to us, but this one doesn't? Or is there something that we can just say?
Just the Common Council once asked. Surely always like to come, so then the Common Council said, thanks for coming. So they just said, hey, instead of coming every quarter, just come every once a year. So.
Just. And I used to like to tease Shirley about the ratio of men to women.
So Shirley takes care of both of them?
No. She just takes care of the travel.
Oh, so, okay. Who takes care of
you would like them to report to you? That's
what's
fine.
That?
If you would like them to come and report,
I believe the president of it is Fred Knapp. And we do anticipate there's likely to be some change in the travel program administration where they may use the service provider that's provided the transportation as staff that does the design and can actually perform the role. And I anticipate that that's a change that will occur in the coming year.
I mean, is that something where I can just say, you know, I'd like the council to get reports on that, or... Is that something I do now, or is that something?
How many times would you like them? Quarterly?
Weekly? I don't know. I'm just saying.
See, the
you know,
problem
we
is you're still
coming.
Young.
I know.
You can't go to dinner there. So what would you like?
Probably when Shirley would come in.
Quarterly. Make it so.
Could be biannual, I think.
Or biannual, yeah.
So where we are, what we can, if it works, we'll bring them in January, and they can do a year-end report.
Yep. Okay, 301. He's on his way. Give him 20 minutes. 301, St. Martin's Fair.
I can't cut that out.
Yeah, go ahead. He'll never get elected. No action on St. Martin's Fair. Planning, economic development. The highlights here. Yeah. The highlights here is we've added some overhead for a new economic development director. Alderwoman Willow.
I noticed there were three chairs in there, and there's a load of chairs in the engineering. You know who needs chairs? We need chairs. These things are broke. can we just take these chairs and swap them with the ones in the inspection department that are really nice over there and actually have some support ones?
Which line is that?
Huh? Yeah.
You know, I kind of like this chair.
Well, you can have that one.
I hate the ones in the hearing. Okay, so what would you like? Would you like to do something about this or just...
Well, I bring it up because they have three chairs in that department, and I just wondered if there's some way we can do some swap chairs. So, Ron, if you would look into that, I'd really appreciate that. Look into it.
Well, that's my department, and
I'd only ask, if I couldn't find better ones, I would only ask for ones that.
The dollar amount.
Better ones somewhere else than what we have.
The dollar amount under capital was, I thought, 100 and.
Capital.
I mean, it was nominal amount of money.
Capital outlay $1,850 for 3G.
And computer.
Oh, yes, that's true.
So it was $1,500, $500 a chair. It was less than that, actually. Yeah, I was thinking $350 a chair when we talked about this. For $350, you aren't getting much of a chair.
We're already here for hours and hours at a time. I think the last thing we want to do is get comfortable here.
Anything else on the planning budget? Anything else on the planning budget?
You know, I...
Alderwoman, I'm here.
I have a question, kind of like, sort of envelopes all the departments. I talked with Mark Liberto a little bit about this, but we pay life insurance for all the employees. Do you know how much we pay, like what's the total premium on?
The annual premium on that is budgeted for $40,843. That can be located on page 12 of the budget.
And how many employees does that cover? How many policies is that?
It's one policy that has broad language covering all full-time employees.
Prorated part-time.
Pardon?
And prorated part-time.
Prorated part-time for
20-ish. So it's $40,000 divided by 220.
One-time your salary.
And average. Anything else, Suzanne?
No, that's fine.
I guess maybe I follow up on that. How long has life insurance been involved as one of the benefits? And I always heard everyone gets health insurance, and I'm just wondering how long that's been.
Probably decades. It's a very common benefit in the,
at least 30.
In the public sector.
30 arena. Years?
At least.
30?
12. How long have you been working?
No.
Well, it depends on what you term work. All right, anything else on planning? Planning? We did planning. Okay, so we missed, what did we miss, Paul?
212.
The contingency budgets on page 212 and 213.
And then we want to go back to capital. Okay, there it is. Questions? The budget's on 213. Explanation on anticipated under expenditures. That's a number that we must have our staff under expending their budget. Just to put it out there.
Can you say that again?
That's the number that our department managers must save in their accumulated budgets for the balance, for the budget to be balanced. And they typically do very well at that. They are aware of that number. And
so where that comes into play for the alderman is if a department head comes in and says,
I've saved $20,000 here, can I spend it over here? You have to recognize those savings, $360,000, were anticipated. So unless you're well ahead for the year, then you have to be cautious letting the department reappropriate things.
Anything else on the budget item? All right, let's go back to capital. Do you want to go back to capital? This is your meeting, not mine.
Yeah, now that you've burned us all out, let's go back to the meeting.
I'm just running the meeting.
Yeah, I know. We should have done this first because this is like the where most of the money's getting spent here other than the...
Page 99, capital. Now you see two sets of columns. One says requested, one says recommended.
All right, I have a question.
All right, all the women along.
Are there projects that were approved that are still listed in the pending projects on page 100? And that starts the pending, but then you flip it over on 101. It says Pleasant View Park, Evergreen Street, and then that's done, 51st Street, Sidewalk, Minnesota, that's done. But these are sitting under pending projects. And then there's new roof on existing cell storage. I thought we moved ahead with that.
Those are all listed under 2014. Really need to be concerned about
them. They're listed under the pending, projects pending approval column. Because if you take this project pending approval column, on page 100, and flip the page, it continues as pending project. We're still under pending project. I mean, they're under heading of pending project.
I believe the intent there for past years was we grouped them with the like project, so we had the parks ones together, but the approved and pending is really focusing on the 2015 budget. So.
Okay, so while they're in pending, you don't really need them to be pending. You just put them in. I don't know.
For old projects, we did group
okay,
them
for,
with
their for old time. Sake purposes, you put them, you left them on the pending project.
We can move those up and restructure this page.
Yeah,
so that
would be better.
All the past activities moved up to the approved. We can do that.
Yeah, it would be much more understandable.
We need an action for that now.
It's not changing numbers. It's just an organizational we'll consider it just a cleanup.
Now, as a former alderman, a former one of you guys, I always wanted things to be in the pending, not in approved, so that you could look at each project as it comes about.
It's been done.
I meant the overall term, not necessarily your issue. Your issue is taken care of.
Oh. Yeah.
So I always wanted them in the come back and ask comment.
Yeah. Right. And that brings me to 99, where in order for me to see which one of these on 99 are actually approved and which are pending, I got to go back and forth. And then, in fact, I had to actually go back into the whole Parks Department budget. So it would have been easier if all of these listed on page 99, the first column, had a key next to them, like P or A for pending or approved. At a glance, it would have been a lot easier.
Or you could just look at page 100 and 101 and forget 99.
Yeah, but then the cost, it's not quite the same as what Better. Where the money's coming from.
Sir Ebser.
Mr. Mayor, we can format page 99 to have pending as well as approved projects. That's not difficult. The purpose schedule, page 99 is a new schedule this year. It has not existed in prior years.
Okay.
Was intended to help the council understand the funding that was available for various projects. And at the time we constructed this, we didn't particularly pay attention to whether they were pending or approved projects, that it would not be difficult, and we can certainly structure the report in the future to be pending versus approved projects.
Yeah, thanks, I appreciate it, because otherwise I'm flipping back and forth to try to see that.
You do that all the time anyway. Anyone else?
Hold your comments.
Alderman Schmidt.
It's on the Brunn Drive.
Here we go.
In deference to the Bruns, there is no E on the end. It seems to me that is it possible that it could be funded by taking the $46,000 from the out of the $328,000 that was dedicated towards the North Cape Trail. That would be a possible transfer of funding.
We've got a quote on North Cape, don't we? Do we have a quote on North Cape Trail?
No.
What is the North Cape Trail?
North Cape Trail under the park development here, page 99. And the city funds,
$328,000.
It's an old one. Yeah, that relates to impact fees as well.
Mr. Mayor, that project is budgeted for $800,000, and then the way this is structured or constructed is that we would anticipate that $472,000 of park impact fees could be used to fund the project for a net city investment of $328,000. But the project is an $800,000 project as it's been recommended here.
So politely said, no, you can't have that.
Well, it's...
Is there...
What Alderman Schmidt is wrestling with, there's a sidewalk on Brunn Drive that was proposed by staff,
yes,
and I chopped it out.
It's a culture street, Brunn
right.
is. It's got a sidewalk to here, and there's a gap of 810 feet, and it picks up again.
Between 68th and 76th.
Yeah. Look at it from the complete streets aspect, that type of thing. It just makes all the sense in the world to allow for someone to walk either to the retail area, you know, along 76, or to the Oakley Trail on 68. We don't know why it's lacking or gapping. It must have been the development, not include the little piece of sidewalk. We don't know why.
I don't get heartburn over this, but I drove that and I said, first of all, these people aren't going to want it in their front yard. The second thing is that on the west side, it's on the south side of the street, and on the east side, or whatever, it's vice versa, but it's on two different sides of the street. So there will be a crossover. It makes no sense.
One crossover to get to the west, and the west is definitely the preferred side as far as disturbance. It's kind of technical, but it's true. The west side is preferred. Look at it. Makes sense.
And it was recommended by the connectivity committee?
Not officially, but members have looked at it. It's not that it was denied, it was just we didn't have quorum, you know. So
they didn't look at it at all.
We did not look at it. No, sir.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Well, I have a question regarding the North Cape Trail. It's in my district, and I don't know anything about it. My understanding is that the sidewalk or trail or whatever that was going to go down North Cape was denied, so we're not having that.
With the road project, that was not included, but there was discussion at the, there was action that said appropriate for it and work it into the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan. And then there was discussion about moving it to paving in the gravel area that's behind behind the school.
Yeah.
The railroad track, turning that into a better trail. So, although the wording hasn't changed, I think the concept's changed. But so that's really a carryover project that hasn't moved conceptually with the direction, but the funding's left at the way the Common Council last discussed it. So, I don't think, Ron, that 800 number was the revised idea that hasn't resurfaced yet. But since the Common Council initially said put it there, we haven't undone that, knowing that there's still potential for that to come around. So that's one of the reasons we've left it as pending approval.
So it's the trail that kind of meets, it's on Forest Home, and it meets up with the...
It's a gravel trail that
from St. Martin's Road.
Yes.
Of course.
My understanding, 800,000 seems out
of it. Right. Seems, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying that you, I don't know what your number for that was, Ron, but you could probably successfully divert.
Yeah.
Some
so
of
we
that
could move it.
I got to interrupt here because we shortchanged Alderman Schmidt. Suzanne just. So what really Alderman Schmidt wants is that Bruni Drive sidewalk for $46,000 gets included. I recommended it against. So it's the wishes of the council.
I'll make a motion that tentatively amend the mayor's budget by increasing taking the $46,000 from the South Park Cape Trail project for the purpose of connecting the sidewalk on Broughton Drive on the west side between 7368 to 7207 Broughton.
Is there support for that motion?
Second. Discussion.
I would second.
Okay. Alderwoman Wilhelm, and then Alderman Evans. And by the way, Alderman Schmidt, you just lost, 15 votes?
Well, it's not all about just those people. It's about community. And I had to take that same hit very hard on 51st Street, and I still got reelected, so don't let that worry you. But
it seems to me I was strongly in favor of the 51st Street Trail myself.
So I wasn't sure if the mayor understood that that trail on North Cape for...
He's arguing with me. There's 15 votes on seven houses. Go ahead.
The North Trail, the $800,000 project is no more. So I'm just informing you because you weren't here. And so I'm trying to be nice and give you the updated information. And there was this discussion, like Ron had said, about, paving that section. But that's way more than it's necessary to pave a road that's already graveled, so we should be able to easily put two on if the Alderman district was ready to take on his constituents for that. And I would support that.
Alderman Evans.
Regarding the North Cape Trail, that's correct. It is no more. The school board voted no to opening the gate. It has nothing to do with the school board?
Well,
no.
It goes by there.
Well, it did come to the school board.
Okay. Alderman Evans has the floor. Is that it?
Yeah. I guess that's it.
Alderman Dandridge.
Janet, you are right. It did die, and we didn't make any decision on what we were going to do about paving that path because we didn't, it kind of just died. It fizzled out. But I don't care. I'm not in favor of putting those sidewalks on the Broad anyways. So, okay. I mean, we can keep the dollars allocated. If we're going to do something, we'll have to re-vote on things next year anyway.
Are you scratching your head, or you want the floor?
Well, I'd like to have the floor.
Alderman Willen.
Referendum. I guess that, it's all the alderman's district, and if he thinks, he can stand the, we don't want to shovel the sidewalk issue for a community issue, but I specifically made a motion, and I've been over and over looking at this a long time ago on that North Cape, that an alternative be sought, and for not doing the North Cape, and that motion passed the council. And the Park Commission looked at it, and this was a suggested alternative. And it doesn't have to do with needing the school to open the gate. It has to do with making the trail easy to ride on a bicycle and walk on, because right now it's just, it's really undefined chunks of gravel. So it's not an issue that requires school approval to make the trail accessible. One of the things was, you know, the possibility from the park commission point of view, putting a parking lot and a bike area so there would be a lot more access to that. But that's not really what Alderman Schitz is talking about. He just wants to have just a small amount from this $800,000 that will never take, even if we approve that project, it won't take $800,000 to do. So there's enough money for both.
What you're saying is we're going to file an agreement. There's a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Madam Clerk, please.
Alderman Schmidt, seconded by Alderwoman Wilhelm, moved to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2015 budget by moving $46,000 from the South North Cape Trail project for the purpose of connecting the sidewalk in the west side of the Bell Road.
Any other discussion? Seeing none. I said that very fast. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
No.
Roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
No.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Four ayes, two noes, motion carries. What did I forget?
Mr. Mayor, there's been no discussion at this point in time yet on the street improvement fund or the equipment replacement funds. Nor has there been any discussion on the sewer fund or the solid waste fund.
So you're really starting from your index here. You've covered on the first page, you've covered the general fund and the library fund. So solid waste fund starts on page 26.
No increase in the solid waste fee this year. It may not hold next year. But any other discussion of the solid waste? Other than I would like us all to take a look at this three times a year brush collection. It may be too much. Maybe we consider something next year.
For what? I'm sorry.
Cutting back the three times a year brush and leaf pickup. Just throwing it up.
What do you do it? Once in spring and twice in the fall?
Yeah. That, just throwing it up. Any other conversation on solid waste? Seeing none, let's move on to
sanitary sewer, page 32.
Thank you, Mark. Mr. Roberts? Questions on the sanitary sewer fund? All right. We're going then to page...
Oh, we do have comments on that.
Mr. LeBert.
In that... We have sufficient appropriations, but in reviewing, now that the bids have come in the building, Ron's been able to put a final estimate for the building cost. And so Ron should pass that out, and then I'll pass this out, because it will probably, staff probably would suggest a motion of this fund as well, because... What you have in this year's budget is a $3 million appropriation. You can award your contracts. But if all of the costs that Ron anticipates come through, when you get to next year's budget and you do your carryover, you'll have a fund balance that's actually about a $75,000 to $100,000 lower. So this would let us alter the 2015 budget, changing the sewer fund, anticipating an extra $100,000 in cost to ensure the fund balance accurately reflects these costs. Otherwise, your carryover of existing encumbered funds to next year will end up having a greater impact than this budget shows. So if you have questions on the numbers, Ron would be the one to support those. If you think those numbers make sense and the department should continue to head in that direction, then half of that increase will be funded by the water utility, half will be in the sewer fund. And I would suggest the motion that I've passed around so that the budget shows what we would anticipate would be the fund balance in that year, at the end of that year.
Questions?
possible?
Short version of the story, with the bids, and when you actually furnish the building, you figure out how to connect it, you're looking at probably a $3.2 million building in total, including furnishings, instead of the three.
Right.
And so there's an extra $100,000 that we really should appropriate into the 2016 so that we're showing the year-end fund balance accurately reflecting where we... 15, sorry. Accurately ending up where we expect it will be.
And the water utilities borrowing will cover their $100,000.
Yeah.
And understand, too, the over... That includes $150,000 contingency, right? I mean, that's just a safeguard in case you uncover something that you weren't expecting or something that occurs. That's a suggested level of contingency for about 5% for new construction.
Which is an appropriate amount.
Is there action regarding this item?
I'll make the motion. Tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2015 budget by modifying language in the sewer fund as determined by staff to clearly reflect the construction of a new sewer and water building and to reflect the anticipated additional expense of $100,000, which will reduce the fund balance in 2015.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Lucked out, Ryan. What else did I
equipment know? Replacement fund goes to page 78 because you've already done the capital outlay fund on page 44.
Right, we don't want to have any more meetings like that. Equipment replacement fund. Schedule is two pages after, four pages after that. Any questions or comments, concerns? It's an ambulance and a snowplow. My favorite items. No action. What else did I miss?
Street Improvement Fund, page 90.
Any action on the Street Improvement Fund? All right, who's doing the recap?
Mr. Mayor?
That concludes the review, by the way. Right? We're done.
We have had discussion on all of the funds at this point in time.
Thank you, job well.
We didn't discuss the summer. Sure, a lot of questions in there. Luckily, the staff did a great job answering my questions that I was able to ask them and answer every of the ones I didn't get to. I was able to figure out as I needed.
Good.
Mr. Mayor, if you inquired about a summary, from my recollection, and would look to coordinate with the clerk in a meeting, but my understanding is that the council has proposed tentative changes to the general fund by increasing or decreasing the contingency budget by $5,000 and increasing the engineering personnel budget by $3,500 and the non-personnel engineering budget by $1,500 for our net zero change in expenditures. There was no discussion of a revenue change. Within the capital improvement budget, there is a tentative change to increase a capital expenditure for Run Drive and to decrease the North Cape Road Trail expenditure by $46,000 each for a net change of $0 to that particular fund's budget. And then lastly, I've got record of within the sewer fund, an increase in the capital expenditure of $100,000 for the water and wastewater facility.
And they also authorized a funded position in building inspection. Yeah, that
survey was the very first item I
talked about. Any objections to those? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Whoa, sorry.
There's one other motion.
One other motion suggested then, based upon the structure of the municipal code, it would suggest a move to recommend to the Common Council the mayor's recommended 2015 budget along with the previous tentative actions of the Committee of the Whole. That then takes your recommendations and moves it to you. We'll use that for the public hearing, and then that is the budget that will become before you at the public hearing, one that includes your changes that you've tentatively recommended.
That action is tomorrow, right?
No, this is an action of the Committee of the Whole.
Is there such a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Alderman Whittle.
Will we have these motions in front of us for tomorrow so we can see them all?
Yes.
Thank you. Anything else, guys? Mark?
No.
A motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
It's been made repeatedly.
Okay, we got a bunch of noise over here. We'll count it. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Return. Thank you, everybody.
Same time tomorrow.